This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Robin Creek is with us, retired FBI special agent, chief of the counterintelligence behavioral analysis program, and Hidden Killers daily contributor. Robin, I want to talk more about Ann Taylor, the attorney for Brian Koberger, and where things are at in terms of who's calling the shots in this case. Defense attorneys taking that much weight, that much influence from their clients. Is that more just a sign of where we're at in society, where individuals who are not experts in things, meeting the client here, meeting Koberger, is nowhere near versed in law as well as Ann Taylor is, yet he probably thinks he knows better. I would say you go down the street and just go ask people, about something and see how much they dig into topics that they know nothing about, yet they will challenge experts and think that, well, I think I might know a little bit better. It seems to be a very bizarre thing we have right now where expert opinion doesn't really matter. I think it may be more of a reflection of the mistrust of authority than anything else. But the fact that there is so much of this where people are trying to override the experts that are there, that are paid to do their job, to be the expert, to be the leader, by those who don't know as much, I wonder how much and how often they are facing these sort of things and they have to go with them, because if they don't, then they're going to be accused of being ineffective counsel.
I don't know. I'm with you on this one. I mean, she's clearly the one that has the reps, the background, the experience of doing these things, and he doesn't. Mm-hmm. If indeed, you know, he's the one directing her to do these things, well, let's flip it. You know, there's high likelihood, though, he's not. And that this is part of a strategy and not a reactionary type thing. Who knows? It makes us all very curious, though, doesn't it? Because on the outward side, from us looking in, it just doesn't seem to make sense. I'm one of these guys, you know, that as you've heard throughout the course of our dialogues, I give a lot of credit, probably too much sometimes, that people are really, really thought, especially if you have reps and experience doing things, and you should be a master of your trade, of being very thoughtful about the things you're doing. So I'm always defaulting to, she must have a plan. There must be a totally logical reason that I'm unaware of why she does these things. Time will tell. But again, I do err on the side of, you know, if someone's got the time and expertise, maybe they have a plan in place, but it doesn't look like it, does it?
Well, the only thing that goes through my mind, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on this, is that they're going to poke holes, or she really thinks she has quite the sharp poker, if you will, mm-hmm. to go through the cell phone data and the triangulation of the data and really show that is not accurate by making that sort of a claim that he was out driving. Yeah, he was out driving in the area, but yeah, sure. Yep, it shows up on the cell phone data, but that you can't trust that. That seems to be kind of the angle that I guess one would take if you're going to make this sort of argument and really convince the jury that the triangulation is not accurate, which would not put him at the scene of the crime, which would then only leave, you know, the evidence that is there, the knife sheath. I'm guessing there's far more behind the scenes that we're maybe unaware of in terms of what was found in that vehicle or on his cell phone in terms of data that's been recovered. But this, I don't know if this is some sort of a Hail Mary and thinking if we can really poke holes in the cell data and use this argument, maybe that will create the reasonable doubt in at least one juror's mind.
Oh, you just hit it right there, which we've been saying about this one, as what we think is her mindset throughout this, and that is you work with what you got, and her entire methodology might just be plant reasonable doubt. You know, mm-hmm. the more data you have, the more inconsistencies you'll be able to show, and inconsistencies in a ping on a cell phone data, which could be completely explained by just technology in general, will sow a seed of doubt in at least one person and might save his life. And that's I think, her goal at this point.
And that's the scary part about these sort of things, because some of these things are just not up for debate. Some of these things are just facts. This is how the technology works. This is where the person likely was based on what we know. It's not up for, well, my friend told me that this is this, or I read this somewhere, but that's how people operate. They'll take conjecture that they heard, read, thought of, or misconstrued somewhere down the line, and then weigh that as important as the fact of how things actually work. And when you have that, that can be quite dangerous, because then you have people making decisions or making judgments on cases and situations here that are not entirely based on reality.
Yeah, absolutely. Matter of fact, if that's the case with what she's attempting to do, you know, Robert Greene's book, Laws of Human Nature, we all love to consume information that validates our own self-opinion of ourselves. And if you create a sense with a jurist or anyone that they're smart, they see beyond, you know, the obvious, they're intuitive about these great observations they're making. And if you can inspire them to think that, you know, they're witty and they can see these and make these leaps, and we can have this doubt, and I can be considered the unusual great person because I have this kind of optic. And she validates that optic by saying, by making all these accusations that aren't founded on science and logic, but based on the emotion of just trying to have someone validate their self-opinion that how witty they are, that they can see these things that no one else can. That's an effective strategy.
I'm kind of afraid we're giving her ideas on how to introduce the case or opening arguments, because if she goes in with opening arguments like that and really plays to the jury's ego and does exactly what you just said. You guys are smart. You guys know things. You don't need an expert to tell you the obvious.
Yeah.
A lot of cases you do. But if she goes in with guns blazing that way and really does the whole BS to them, and somebody bites and goes, yeah, I don't need that, they got a case.
Yeah, it's... And great point. Boy, you made me really feel good. Like, you know, we could do this. You and me, Tony. But it's very true. What lawyers do, courtroom lawyers, whether you're prosecutor or defense, is you're weaving these beautiful tales where you're infusing science and facts with emotion and story. Mm-hmm. And you are trying to watch and regard and interpret what you're seeing from the jury, its impact it's having on, and this is with the people that are functioning at a high level, obviously. Not everyone does. But I would think when you have, you know, a defense attorney, like I've heard she is, you know, this is what she's doing. And as, if you are going to be light on facts and data that's going to support, because these things should always, all dichotomies should be in balance. And I think a courtroom balance is the dichotomy of maintaining science and facts with emotions and feelings. Mm-hmm. And so when one is lacking on her side in science and data, potentially, she's going to have to lay more heavily on the emotions and the feelings.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.